Hello and welcome to this week's episode of our Facts First podcast. I'm your host, Christian Isguera. Now, this week's episode is still part of our special series on the Bangsamoro. We're doing this in partnership with the Institute for Autonomy and Governance, a Cotabato City-based think tank. Now, over the past several days, we've seen the response when it came to this proposal coming from the chairman, the interim chief minister of the Bangsamoro Transition Authority, Chairman Murad Ibrahim, who is pushing for a three-year extension of the transition in the Bangsamoro. We're going to talk about that and whether the transition government in the Bangsamoro really needs three more years to finish the job. Now, for this week's episode, we're joined by two special guests. I would like to introduce first Attorney Jose Lorena. He's a member of the Bangsamoro Parliament. He was also a member of the Bangsamoro Transition Commission, and he was among the authors of this resolution, pushing for the extension of the transition in the new Bangsamoro region in Muslim Mindanao. We're also joined on this podcast by Attorney Mary Ann Arnado. She's the Secretary General of the Mindanao People's Caucus. Now, this group's findings, they conducted a midterm review of the accomplishments of the Bangsamoro Transition Authority over a span of more than a year. And part of the recommendations coming from this study, from this midterm review, was the extension of the transition from 2022 until 2025. I'll start with Attorney Joe, because you, Attorney Joe, you introduced this resolution, pushing for the extension of the transition. Now, based on the Bangsamoro Organic Law, the transition was supposed to be from 2019 until 2022, 3 years only. But you're pushing for an additional 3 years that would go beyond the Duterte administration. The basic question is, do we really need to extend the transition from 3 years to 6 years?
I think yes, because let us remember that the object of all this new entity and all this is the peace that we need in the area. And this is a product of the peace agreement. And the peace agreement, since I come from the office of the presidential advisor on the peace process, this was part of the negotiating team. I understand the context of the agreement, including the establishment of the new entity. And there are two tracks, the political track and the normalization track. And this is all intended to level the playing field in the area, to allow the MILF in particular, as they are the signatory to this agreement, to normalize and to take part in the new entity. But with the limited time and at the same time the unexpected COVID-19, it hampers not only the political track, but it hampers basically the normalization track, which is a precondition for the eventual participation in a regular government of the MILF, because they have to be rehabilitated, they have to be put back into the framework of our civil society, and they have to participate in regular elections. Now, when Chairman Murad mentioned that in the normalization track, they have not even completed the demobilization of the MILF forces, because even those who have been demobilized, the initial part of it was not given the necessary packages needed for demobilization. Secondly, in the transition of for the new entity or the Bangsamoro government, let us remember we were appointed on February, but we were organized only in March. But it is not true that we were able to start work in March, because even the BTA members were not able to report because there were no budget for the BTA at that time. In fact, the salary of BTA members came only in July. You remember that long time, it was about a half a year, and we were only provided the staff by August. And basically, the intergovernmental relations mechanism was not also put in place immediately. Mm-hmm. Remember, even in the determination of the territory of the Bangsamoro, it is provided that an ad hoc committee will determine the maritime territory of the Bangsamoro, but it was not established, the ad hoc committee. to define the territorial waters of the Bangsamoro at that stage. Now, when we already in the momentum to write all the codes as it is provided for in the law, we started sometimes in September to work on it. But remember, we just don't write the law. We have to have consultations. We have to have deliberations on this. When we started, we were about I was in the ad hoc committee of the parliament. We were already writing on the laws, but when we started to work on it seriously sometimes in the first month of January, we already have, even at that time, news about COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And in February, while we were already, I wrote to Chairman Murad about the need to fast track the admin code, there were already drafts of the administrative code, but we were hit by the pandemic. And after our meeting in Manila, in March 1 to 8, everybody, and when I went to for our orientation on parliamentary system when we went to Scotland, before we can finish our training in Scotland on March the 15th, we were advised to return because the country will be on a lockdown.
Yeah.
And from March, all of us were affected by the COVID-19. In short, even the transition period for 2 years, we're not really, in the first year alone, we were not able to work within 1 year. Basically, in my calculation of the period that we have actively working, we were only to work about 7 months with the interval of December of 2019. And we were able to work in January until February. But at beginning February, there was already the requirements of the IATF preparing for the COVID-19.
Okay.
And it's just unfortunate for us that by March 15, there was already the declaration of lockdown.
Yeah.
And all the mobility. In fact, I was locked down in Manila for 2 months.
Okay. So basically, you lost a lot of time because of so many intervening events. Now, I'd like to go to Attorney Arnado. So based on your findings, based on the review that you conducted, that your group conducted, would 3 additional years be enough? Because I think if we're going to compare this with other transition mechanisms elsewhere in the world, even 6 years are considered quite short for something as big as this.
Based on our interviews and review, we found out that the period by itself, even without looking at the pandemic, no, the period really is very, very short. If you look at the overall targets of the BTA, because there are, for example, turnover of powers that need to be implemented jointly with the national government. Because if you look at the transition, it's not just the implementation is not just the hands. It's still a continuing partnership between the BTA and the national government. And so, hindi pwedeng unilateral met ang BTA na, okay, Cotabato City, since you are already, the yes votes already won, we will already bring you in. They cannot do that unilaterally. It has to be the national government that will turn over this particular LGU to the BTA.
Okay. Now, you mentioned Cotabato City. I'd like to ask Attorney Joe Lorena. Of course, we know that Cotabato City, in particular Mayor Giani, has been posing a problem in terms of the fact that Cotabato City voted in favor of being part of the New Bangsamoro Autonomous Region and Muslim Mindanao. And of course, as we speak, Cotabato City is yet to be included practically under the BARM. So how do you deal with a problem like this, for instance? And if you're going to push for a 3-year extension, does it mean that Cotabato City can also wait for another 3 years before being absorbed by the BARM? Attorney Joe.
First, under the law, Cotabato City is now a part of the BARM. It is provided in the law which says that upon ratification, the territorial units of who voted to join positively, the last plebiscite are already filed. But you remember there was this issue of request from the good mayor of Cotabato to delay the turnover to December of this year. And considering the transition work and the work of the national government, as already mentioned by Marianne, it is not just for the bank to say we will assume this, because there are line agencies of government in Cotabato. There are necessary turnovers required. In fact, should have been part of an interagency committee issue, because what is provided for in the interagency committee is before turnover of the bank to, before we assume all the responsibility, the accounts and obligation of the past government of the arm could be determined by an interagency committee composed of the Office of the President, the Department of Budget, COA, so that we will know what are the obligations to be paid by the national government and what are the obligations to be paid by the regional government. There was no determination if the obligation accounts payable are legitimate or not. And this is to be done by an interagency committee. And that interagency committee was not organized. Before even the turnover, before even the organization of the BTA, it was provided in the law that the interagency committee will only turn over the responsibilities to the BTA. But there was a formal turnover on March by the previous government to the chief minister. But the law prescribes for a turnover to the BTA. As far as Cotabato, that is also the likelihood. But we hope that we will go by the terms as agreed in the Office of the President, that there will be proper turnover by December. And we will not go beyond that, because we want that the government of the arm will already be determined, disperse the territorial jurisdiction, because we are now formulating our election code. And we need the redistricting. We need the districting for Cotabato to participate in the regular elections. Without that, if you suspend that, it would again delay the process of determining the redistricting for purposes of the election for a regular government. And that would again require an extension, which we do not like. We want to finish all codes as much as possible within this period.
Now, I'd like to go to Attorney Arnaldo. Based on your midterm review, how much of the tasks that are supposed to be completed by the Bangsamoro Transition Authority have been completed?
Now, based on our review, we accomplished the first stage, which is the turnover from the ARMM to the BTA. Over from the ARMM to the BTA.
Yeah.
And that is just yung separation of the employees, hiring of new employees, setting up of the interim cabinet, operationalizing the Bangsamoro Parliament. All of these are related to the turnover. Now, that has been accomplished, more or less. The second stage, which is the more important and more crucial, because it already requires the establishment of institutions, the legislation of laws with regards to the, these are the pillars that need to be legislated to be of a working, functional parliamentary form of government.
Yan ang
hindi pa natatapos.
Kulang pa.
Require that of time. The code, for example, you need the 5 codes plus the Indigenous Peoples Code. Hindi pa yan natatapos. It requires participation of people, and that cannot just be shortcut by doing all this on paperwork na lang or Zoom. If you push this process and then everyone will go na into campaigning, we will realize the more substantial structural reforms that we need to do, na sana gagawin yon ng BTA without dealt now with political intramurals in the upcoming 22 elections.
Of course, very legitimate, the fact that the request to extend the transition by another 3 years is very legitimate given the issues that you two guys have raised so far. But there are also people who might suspect that there might be something, there might be some vested interests involved in here. For instance, if you extend the transition by another 3 years, does it mean that the members of parliament would also automatically be staying on for another 3 years? I mean, how do you respond to the possible suspicion that part of this initiative might also be self-serving?
Thank you. It's a good question, Christian. When we are appointed, we are not appointed for a term. We receive a general appointment from the president just to do the transition. Meaning, there is no term for us, because if you are an appointee of the president, you are at the pleasure of the president. Now, what really is the effect of the extension of the transition? The effect is you don't have an election, because the transition does not require an election. It is still an appointment by the president. But it doesn't necessarily mean that all of us will be there, because some of us will be running, for example, for local governments if the transition, but the transition can still focus on the work that they are doing. And all of us may not be there. Naturally, some of us get sick, some of us die, so there will be new appointments. But there is no extension for all of us, because we don't have a term in the first place. We are all appointees. That is the general idea of the transition when the Congress of the Philippines was working on the law. We don't have to go back to, we have to go to election, because it will politicize everything. So we have to be appointed so that the president can select the people who can do the transition without being politicized, without being considering the political interests on the ground, so that we can continue to work. But as you mentioned, if we go, as Marianne also mentioned, if you go to election now, many of those who are running, everybody will be busy running. And even those who are in the BTA, who are coming from the political clans, maybe already campaigning for their own political relatives or even for the running. So we cannot anymore focus on the work of transition. I would like to mention that with respect to that consultation Marianne mentioned, we have already passed the administrative code. The civil service code is now in the committee, but what delays us is the consultation. We are still consulting with people, experts, with people on the ground, because we cannot pass a law without consultation, as mentioned by Marianne, that's correct. And there is already the local government code already drafted. It is already in the committee. In fact, I started organizing the committee for purposes of consultation last week. And there is already a draft election code, but we cannot finish all this because there are some cities which have not yet been turned over to us. So how would you redistrict the station and include that in the election code? And there is still the organization of the COMELEC, or election body for the BARM, which will implement an election for a parliamentary setup, because our election is different from the national elections. Mm. It will be governed by an election code different from the national, because this is for the first time we have an election for parliamentary seats, which is divided into district seats and political party seats and reserve seats. So all of these have to be tailored within that small limited period. Had we not been affected by the COVID, we could have started and we could have perhaps finished already as already approved, the administrative code is already done. The civil service code could have been consulted earlier, because we went even before the COVID, we went already to Sulu for consultation on the civil service code, but we were disrupted by the COVID. Then we have already the draft local government code, but it has to be consulted with local governments. Now, and we also have an election code already, a draft election code, but it has to be, there should be a technical working group between us and the COMELEC, because our election code will still be implemented by the Commission on Elections, national, because our COMELEC will still be part of the National Election Commission. These are some of the complications. But with respect to extension of our term, there is no term for us to be extended, because we are appointees of the president and we are still at the pleasure of the president. Under the maxim, the power to appoint, there is within the power to withdraw appointment. There is no such thing as a term for all the BPA.
Okay, of course, but
even with extension, we really don't know who will be, but It will disrupt the momentum, of course, if we will disrupt the appoint those who have already started the work, and we will appoint again new ones for purposes of then it will disrupt. But we can change one or two or three, but not definitely the start out of the organization of all those working for the transition.
Yeah, precisely. But because I don't think
none of us, we will not.
Yeah, but I don't think the president would be, I think it would be logical for the president to keep most of the members of parliament, right? Members of the BTA.
Yes.
And you don't expect all of you to be replaced after 2022, even with an extension. So yeah. I think that's where other people are coming from.
But what is important here is really the transition work. That is why we did not use in the resolution to extend the term of the those in the BTA. It is to extend the transition period, because the transition period covers the work. It's the schedule of the work, what has to be done of the BTA, what has the complementary work in the normalization, it has to be in cadence. These are the two things that we are considering. But with respect to our appointments, as far as we are concerned, hindi naman nakakasigurado kung we will be there, we will be appointed, we will not be there. Because the president will look, how could we fast track the work? If they need more experts to be there, they can change some of us.
Okay. Now, let's go to the issue of let's go to the issue of normalization. You guys mentioned that there are two tracks. So, for instance, the normalization process is proving to be very difficult. In the previous episode, we interviewed Chairman Murad Ibrahim, and he admitted that many of the combatants, members of the MILF, have now grown reluctant to actually participate in the normalization process because of the experience of their comrades who actually were part of the first batch of decommissioning, around 12,000. They were supposed to receive, I think, each of them, 1 million worth of economic package. But what most of them got only so far was the 100,000 peso cash incentive as part of the agreement. Now, I'd like to ask Attorney Hernando, how do you address a very serious problem like this, especially given that normalization is a very important part of this entire peace agreement and this peace process?
I think the main problem there is really lack of funds. And especially now with the pandemic, wherein resources are really very scarce and there are competing demands at the level of government, no less than Secretary Galvez conceded actually na it's really difficult to implement the normalization now with the targets. There is a need to recall. They need to go back to the planning board and then discuss what is really realistic at this point. Because if you look at the 2021 GAA budget, there's really no budget there for the normalization, no? Parang ang ginawa nila, they just parang they have the budget for the 100,000 cash assistance, but yung economic package like housing, health, scholarships, mga PhilHealth, there is no dedicated funds for that. I have also visited the camps, no? Kasi under the normalization program, you need to transform. Also, 5 major camps. I have been to 3 camps. Wala pa talaga nasimulan doon. We have been to Camp Abubakar. Wala pang visible na mga project na nasimulan. Everything is still at planning stage. Meron silang mga mapa, may mga plano, pero hindi pa rin nasisimulan. Then we also went to Rajamuda, the same. Yun pa rin ang status. And of course, there's also a lot of limitations there. Pero aggravated na lahat. Naging casualty na lahat because of the pandemic. So, we have looked at the budget ng 2021. Again, I would like to emphasize that na walang dedicated funds for that. So, based on our recommendation, there is really a need to set up the normalization trust fund, not just coming from government, hindi lang mag-rely doon sa ng government, but to get the support of other international country, international governments, international UN and international donors, because they are committed to this process. Ano naman sila eh? They are commit, na-commit na yan sila earlier on. Ang kulang na lang is yung tinatawag na special presidential authority na hindi pa lumalabas. Siguro pag pag lalabas yan, matutulungan natin yung gobyerno na mag-implement ng normalization fund. Not just dun sa kanilang pondo, which is very limited now, very scarce. Kailangan yan ng ano, reinforcement coming from the international donor community and including yung mga Muslim countries na nag-commit na early on dito sa BARM.
Okay. Now, speaking of money, Attorney Joe, we know how big this initiative is. After 17 years, they hammered out a peace agreement in 2014. And we know that the implementation won't be easy. But somehow, given the fact that there's been a problem with budget, a problem with money, it seems like in certain areas of the peace agreement, the national government has not been walking the talk. And of course, we know that there's this pandemic. But somehow, do you also get the sense that despite the immense importance of this peace process, that somehow the national government has not been putting its money where its mouth is in terms of implementing these very concrete projects?
This normalization trust fund has been in the works even when I was in OPAF. And it has even been submitted to a cabinet committee and in fact to the president. But as already mentioned, Maria, the normalization fund does not only come from government. It will come from other international bodies and even participation of other government. But all of our these countries have been affected by the COVID. And realistically, we cannot also expect them, even their people cannot be moving around to our area. Remember, even the European Union's Robusta program, it just came about a month ago. And even their people are limited to Cotabato. They cannot even move to other places where there were interventions that they want to provide. If you will ask European communities, they are not being full swing because of the limitation and the limited mobility of their people on the ground. And plus, they are also affected by COVID, and their financial situations have also sagged more or less. So these are some of the considerations why the full establishment of the normalization trust fund may have not been realized at this early because of all the environment. And I think the government was already working on that when at the early stage, even before the transition authority was organized. But as I said, when we were starting the normalization trust fund in 2019, the budget has already been done. And in 2020, there were already packets of programs that identified to be included in line agencies and even if I recall it correctly, the normalization trust fund proposal was submitted even to the president in a cabinet meeting. I was there. But it requires involvement, as Marianne mentioned, the participation of other governments, other international bodies. But when 2020 came, the COVID affected all these movements. There was, in fact, already a proposal to be submitted to the Department of Finance to work out with the other countries on funding assistance for normally trust fund. But it was really affected by COVID-19 because in March of 2020, there was really no meetings already of international bodies, including our national government on the formulation. So we should appreciate that the MILF understood the situation, the environment. And since we are now partners with government and MILF thought that we cannot be blaming one another. But the environment really did not pave the way. And there was never a question of sincerity of one or the other, because both parties realized that the implementation of the agreement was really affected by this pandemic. And I think realistically, in agreements, in even in international agreement, there is a principle Well, we long, while there is the principle of pacta sunt servanda, there is also the principle of primus sic sanctibus. We adjust the time frame, we change the condition. So even in contractual obligation, if parties cannot perform their obligation because of unexpected circumstance, natural or otherwise, then the terms can be modified. And this is also true to the transition, because everyone was affected. So I think this is, MIL, we should be thankful to the other, to the parties to the agreement, that they are not breaking the agreement and blaming one another for insincerity, for non-compliance, but because they thought they're already partnered to the peace process, and both must tell the truth. These are the circumstances we do. And the MILF did so by the chairman saying, this is our problem, but we understand, and because of that, we need to calibrate this issue. And plus, we're already prepared, even for even in the stockpiling of the 3210 over firearms, on how to validate firearms, said that by IDB. But how can you move? IDB, even the representative of IDB, they cannot be moving from Manila to the ground. And they were really locked, there are lockdowns in every places that they want to go. Even from their country, our country, they cannot come. Because the IDB is also participated by international bodies and international governments. And they cannot even come. Even the, I don't know how many times have they met. Perhaps by Zoom, but that's how you can expect with the kind of connectivity we also have. It will be very difficult to be meeting with our foreign friends. I would like to stress that point. Even now, we have entered into an agreement with the Westminster Foundation on the capacitation of our people, the BTA and the staff. But we do it by schedule, by Zoom. Our lecturers from England and from other countries cannot come. Sometimes there is no Zoom, so we have to postpone. For political party building, we have already an agreement with the Westminster Foundation on the training, but we cannot train regularly because sometimes I cannot participate. The connectivity from my area to them cannot, and even our lecturers from other countries cannot even participate. So these are some of the circumstances that I think should be factored in by many of those looking at this extension.
Now, I'd like to ask Attorney Arnado, based on your midterm review, based on the conversations that your group conducted with people on the ground, what is the prevailing sentiment? I mean, I'm asking this question because during our previous episode, basically, Chairman Murad was candid in admitting that part of the concern that he had was that if elections would push through in 2022, technically, the MILF might lose because there's a segment of the voting public that might accuse the MILF of falling short of expectations. But that is because of the very limited time frame and the many different factors that we have been talking about here in this podcast. Now, based on your conversations, what is the sentiment? Do they get the immense difficulty of implementing the transition, or that did you also sense some sort of blaming on the part of certain stakeholders who are not exactly that appreciative of what has been done so far, and they prefer to look at the negative side of the argument?
I think based on our review, the sentiments are really very, very high. No? Yung sentiments nila na they have not yet received yung tangible projects. Yun yung mga parang hindi pa nila na-feel daw yung arm. Hindi pa nila na meron yung mga peace dividends, may mga hinihintay sila, merong mga promises, yung mga ganun. Very di naman masyadong out of the world ang mga expectation nila. Very basic man, no? Housing, livelihood, yung kanilang agricultural inputs, scholarships. Ganun man din, wala mang hindi actually very spectacular na mga expectation. Basic pa rin, Pero yun ang inihintay ng pero mga ano tao. Ba? Because may mga promises kasi tayo, no?
Na, attorney, pero did you sense some frustration on the part of those people? Were they frustrated?
Very frustrated. Yun ang ano. Yes, there's really reality yan na kasi nga merong ano, may mga expectations sila na hindi pa nami-meet, hindi pa na-deliver, naghihintay sila. Parang ganun, no? And pero if you look at the overall kasi na situation ng barn, for example, in 2019 when they started, they really did not start with fresh funds for transition. At the onset of transition, they just simply inherited the funds of ARMM, which were already earmarked na to certain projects na ng ARMM. No? So, parang 2019, you cannot actually realistically expect na ma-deliver yung lahat ng BTA sa communities, kung ano yung kanilang mga expectations, because wala nga silang po to start with. They simply had to implement programs and projects which were already approved in 2018 pa na budget sa budget hearing. So yun yung status nila. In fact, na-mention na nga ni Attorney Joe kanina na yung iba August o November na nagkasweldo yung mga staff ng BTA. So practically, 2019, although may mga expectation na mayroon na, naghihintay na, o gaganda na sana talaga yung buhay natin and all, pero yung reality ng hindi mo pwedeng hindi pala yun doable because there was no funds. Special development funds, for instance, no, under the law meron yang 5 billion per year for the next 10 years intended for the rehabilitation, reconstruction, rebuilding of the conflict affected areas at pati na yung normalization. Yun, in 2019 walang pondong pumasok from the special development fund. So again, merong expectations ang community, the frustrations are also rising, pero wala, hindi yung deliverable sa 2019. There's really need to communicate directly to the people so that they will know.
Okay. Now, I'd like to end this podcast with that very important point that you mentioned. I'd like to ask both of you, what would be or what should be a good approach or a good strategy to properly communicate these issues to the people? Because you've acknowledged that many of the stakeholders, many of the people on the ground have been growing frustrated because understandably, after the peace agreement was signed and after the Bangsamoro Organic Law was passed, of course, naturally, people on the ground would expect certain big changes. But you, coming from civil society and Attorney Lorena, being a member of the parliament, you guys know that the process is difficult and you cannot just deliver all those promises right away, especially given the short transition period. So now there's a big push to extend the transition for another 3 years. But in the meantime, what should be the strategy coming from the Bangsamoro parliament, coming from the BTA, and also coming from the civil society groups? To basically manage expectations and to tell the people that the process would be long, it won't be easy, but the accomplishments would come as promised. How do you do that, Attorney Joe?
First, thank you. That's a very good question. First, I'd like to inform that I think the 5 billion, which has not yet been released, it will be released very soon according to our source from the DBM. That by leading can spell a difference. That is why our program is to have impact programs and projects for each and every province, beginning with health. The parliament will not finish pieces of projects, but we will have major priority section. For example, since we expected already COVID, we have to have tertiary hospitals in every province of the bar. And that is what our the direction of the planning now is being done. So that when the 5 billion will be released, if we can have tertiary hospital in each province, that would have an impact on the health of our people. And the second, if the next tranche, the 5 billion, because 2019, as Marian mentioned, there was no release. Only now we have that yet to see, but we are already planning for it. Then there will be the next, the education. The educational system will be improved, becoming up to tertiary universities. So that is the strategy. To tell the truth is, when we started, we already have the Bangsamoro, the first thing with the approvals, the budget after the transition plan, was the Bangsamoro Development Plan. Now, all these plans are already there. What is needed would be the PAM. And it is as the budget, as far as the BPA is concerned, we are now in the process of approving the budget for 2021. And we have already calibrated this based on our experience with COVID and based on the experience of the releases from BPA. So we have to inform our people already on how and what to expect, because the expectation is too high before that. The black time will come and it will be released immediately. That was the understanding. 63 billion will be released one time. But that is not the case. The case is we only receive partial of it. We are receiving at least 5 billion per month from it, not the whole 63 billion. Unfortunately, there are still issues raging as far as people who have started projects in the past. They want us to pay that. And these are obligations of the previous administration, which has not been determined by an interagency. But I think we are working on how we can help them bring this about to the national government, because unless the accounts payable are validated, the national government cannot also pay. And in addition to that, we are now preparing a rehabilitation plan based on Article 14. Because under Article 14, outside from the the block grant and the special development plan, there is a rehabilitation plan to be prepared, to be funded by national government. But understanding the situation of national government with respect to COVID, it has to give priority to COVID and to the vaccine. But we are preparing already on the plan so that when the fiscal situation of the national government is also will also be in its proper perspective, then the plan is ready. So we are to finish all the codes first. And we, in the consultation, we will be able to inform our people the reason why the development plans did not come because of this. And I think many of them understand now. The members of the parliament will have to go down after COVID and explain the reason. At the same time, we have to work out with our local government units. With the local government code consultation, we will be able to more or less coordinate and talk with our local government units. The governance of our region is not really only the responsibility of the BARM, the BTA. It is also the responsibility of the local governments. And I think we have to work together if we will have to succeed in addressing the needs of our people and their aspirations. So yun siguro ang take namin ngayon. There should be specific prioritization for the special development plan. Wala na yung toilet dito, bridge dito. It will be focused. If we start with health, then all provinces should have its own tertiary hospital. So that when COVID will happen, I think our people are ready to address that. And if after the 5 billion is done for all these five, if there are remaining money, we can go to schools, all universities in the five provinces. After all, our regular funds, including the area of local government, to address the nitty-gritty, yung maliliit lang. For example, yung mga assistance to communities, yung mga... Ngayon, we are, because of COVID, we have to, from our own BTA, we are giving assistance to our social workers, because we have to capacitate them, we have to help them, and health personnel. Our programming now is definitely based on our experience in the past 1 year.
Okay. Same question, Attorney Arnado. So basically strategy, how do you relay that message to the people on the ground?
The bias of the Mindanao People's Caucus is really the grassroots, no? How do we ensure that the dividends of peace will really go back to the victims of war, to the orphans, to the widows, to those who are in the margins of the Bangsamoro community? So I think the challenge, the transition period, is to how do you balance yung the need to establish your bureaucracy, na at the same time how to move quickly, how to move very fast para maparating yung ating servisyo sa ground. More than the codes, more than all these laws, it's really prioritizing, putting the interest, welfare, and the development of our people right into the transition, during the transition period. So yun yung ano natin. And I think the limitations are there, we understand, but it's also very important to keep. And then the communications should not just be also dun sa mga social media or mga Facebook lang, kasi hindi naman lahat may access doon, no? Especially in the barn, very poor ang connectivity, so you cannot just rely also on the social media for your information dissemination. So there's really, I think this is not new to the MILF, and even of course also with the BTA, to really maintain the connection to the cause. And if they are well informed, we can easily mobilize them to support us even in the actual implementation of our programs. We look at the BARM actually as the most concrete legacy of the first Mindanaoan president, and it is really to our interest that this will succeed, this will fully serve the interest of our people for the sake of unity and peace, not only Samoro, but also in the entire Mindanao and the country as well.
Well, thank you very much, Attorney Marian Arnado, and thank you very much, Attorney Joe Lorena, member of the Bangsamoro Parliament.
Thank you, Christian,
for joining us on this podcast. You can catch this podcast. This is available on Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and Apple Podcasts. See you again next week for another episode of our Facts First podcast. Thank you for joining us.